in intent. I realize intention determines the outcome. Let me tell you one thing. Intention is a powerful impulse that inspires you and I to do the thing that will always determine an outcome. It's a driving force. It's an impulse for you to do something. There are three kinds of intention. The good, the bad, and the godly. Yeah. The church needs to be more positive here now. However, when you and I are poised to act on bad intentions, you will notice and discover the content of the heart. Isn't it? Bad intention is a reflection of the content of the heart. And I want you to know, only God knows the heart. Only God knows what is in the heart. Let me read to you a particular passage. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says this. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Many a time people don't realize when things were said and spoken about certain individual, it was not because of what I saw physically, but what I saw in the spirit of that person. But sometimes we are not trained, we tend to look at how a person behaves. Sometimes they can be very, very nice. Devil also disguised himself as an angel of light. Proverbs 21 verse 2 says, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. So it is very crucial that you and I know only God knows the heart of a man. Now you and I realize if you move around in the city, almost every corner or even in the world today, we have a lot of black colored cameras on the street. And also the swirling cameras mounted on the walls trying to observe your movement. Am I right? But there's something even more than that. God scrutinizes our heart. The camera may see your movement, but only God knows what is in the movement of your heart, the heartbeat of your life. Only God knows why you do what you do. It's not what you do. It's why you do it. And we never understand why until we know what is inside the heart. And God knows. So the intention is very much deeper than what you do outside. It's far more than that. It's deeply in the heart. And today, I want to challenge you to look at godly intention. Bear in mind that we are worshiping an intention God. God is full of intention. Right from Genesis onward, Genesis talks about the fall of man. And then you begin to realize that right from Genesis, John chapter 1 speaks about the redemption plan. And he wants to see that we all being saved. But that was not all. He went further than that. There was a great commission. God's intention for you and for me as a church to reach out to the rest of the people in the world or in the society. It was God's intention to take people out from the miry clay, from the pit of hell, into the paradise of God. It was God's intention in the Great Commission. That's why right in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus told the disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It was God's intention. However, if there is no intention at all, I'm afraid the Great Commission will be missed. I'm afraid nothing is going to happen if there is no intention in our lives. And in reference to the journey with Jesus Christ and to follow Jesus, there is a need for intention to follow Him. If we do not have the intention, then I'm afraid there's nothing is going to happen in our journey. To follow through with this, we need to have an intention. The absence of intention will cause many of us to become an empty gong. A lot of sound, but everything is empty. We have a lot of sound, but everything is empty. Our knowing of what to do must follow through with intention. If you know what you need to do, there is a need to follow with intention. Listen very carefully, friends. Intention is an essential response to God. Such as when God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. There is a command. You know about the command, but if there is no intention to love God, nothing is going to happen. When the Lord says, pray unceasingly, if there is no intention to pray, then nothing is going to happen. The Bible says, go and teach and make disciples. If I have no intention to take time to study the First Peter in all the five chapters, then there is no way I will be able to produce a compiled Bible study notes. Nothing is going to happen. So what I'm going to help you today is this. I'm going to ask you to come along and study this one man's life in the Old Testament, which some of you, in fact, many of you, are very familiar with him. His name is Nehemiah. Nehemiah expressed a very strong intention. Let me tell you what I mean by that. If you look into the text of Nehemiah, right from chapter 1, you will notice that he received a bad news from his brother Hanani. When the brother came, completely exhausted, telling him what happened in Jerusalem. Bear in mind, Hanani traveled about 1,300 kilometers to reach the brother Nehemiah in Susa, the palace, where he was serving King Artaxerxes. And when the news broke out, the Bible tells me that Nehemiah was saddened by the news. In fact, I want you to see Nehemiah chapter 1 in verse 4 and 6. Let me read to you. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, that means then I prayed, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who loved him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. Look at verse 11. It says, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. Nehemiah expressed something very important. He expressed a prayer for success. He expressed a prayer for an opening. How many of you like that? How many of you been praying for God to open up doors, isn't it? How many of you are praying that God will grant you success? Now listen carefully. After reading the text and notice that he was praying for success, it's simply because right at the beginning, after the news he received, he was saddened. And then he started praying for success. It simply tells me one thing. Every godly intention is followed by our concern. If you do not have any concern whatsoever about your growth in the Lord, then nothing is going to happen. There will be no intention at all. Nehemiah saw the needs and he knew what needs to be done. The state of God's people is already in problem. The wall of Jerusalem is dilapidated, is broken. He was very concerned when he heard that news. The people's goods were plundered by the enemy because the wall was not set up. My question today, are you concerned of the broken wall in your life? Are you concerned about the broken wall in your family? Are you concerned about the broken wall in your relationship? Children, youngsters, listen. Are you concerned about the broken wall that is in your education? Is there a broken wall? Today, do we hear the needs of the church? Did you hear the cry of the church? Did you hear and see the need of your family? Did you see the problem of your own life? Or you deny it and close your eyes and say, oh, everything is good, nothing is happening. Brothers and sisters, every single one of us here have needs. Are we concerned about our needs? Nehemiah, man who is employed as a cupbearer to Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, notice that he expresses his intention even further than that. You see, he was concerned about God's people. He was concerned about Jerusalem, the city. He was concerned about God's name that was established in Jerusalem. Are we concerned about that name? If that we are not concerned about that name, no wonder we have no intention to be early in the house of God. No wonder we have no intention to make any necessary studies for our own spiritual growth. No wonder there is no intention even to take or make sacrifices for the needs of somebody else. But Nehemiah went further than that. He went into the matters that are most important thing in life, substantially and profoundly on what is our concern. Are we concerned the most important things in life today? Are we concerned about the things that are so close to your heart? Are we concerned about that? Are we concerned about our children's welfare? Because in the midst of a society that is so unpredictable, that one day will your son be found, or your children or your daughter will be found together with the influence that the world is providing? Will it be? Will our lives, as I can see some of the youngsters in the early days, they will come and agree with all that you say, but there is no intention in their hearts because there was no concern about their own spiritual life. No wonder they fall short and decided to live their own ways. Intention. There must be something that goes deeper than that. Far more important than that. Are you concerned about your children's education, or are you first concerned about your children's spiritual condition? Which of this? People will say, I want my children to be smart. I want my children to be intelligent. Everybody wants their children to be smart. We don't want our children to be stupid. We want to do our best for their education. Am I right now? Somebody say amen. But is that all? Look at today's world. There are so many smart people, intelligent people committing crime. Are you with me? It's not about how intelligent they are. It's about their spiritual condition. They can be the smartest, but they can be the most corrupted one as well. You know what I'm talking about? Are you with me? The moment of truth needs to be revealed. So that we as a church should not be so concerned about just the smartness, but we need to go beyond that. What about the spiritual condition of our children? You know why? Because on the day when we meet the Lord, your children will also meet the Lord, my children will also meet the Lord, and they will all have to face up with God, and God will not say, oh, thou good, intelligent, and smart kid. He says, thou good and faithful. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's get our priority right. Sometimes we ask a question, are we concerned about the testimony of our lives? Or are we just concerned about our pride? Because sometimes pride overrides the testimony. People need to know that you are of Christ. Therefore, what are we concerned about today? Nehemiah was a very busy man. Unfortunately, a lot of people today always like to use busyness as an excuse. Let me say to you today, once and for all, Nehemiah is one of the busiest guys in this book. He was an influential guy, but he was a very busy guy. In fact, he took a very risky job as well, a cupbearer. You know what the cupbearer does? They taste the food. In case there is poison, you'll be the first one to die, not the king. And I am very concerned in our church today, what is our deepest concern will tell us our intention. Because intention must be followed by our concern. Amen? When we were coming here to Australia, my wife and I and the children, the first thought in my head was to get over to New Zealand and to complete my PhD. But then when I discovered that a PhD course is so high, I told my wife, you know what, I can forego that. The amount of money I have, I need to keep it for the children to study because I do not know what they need when I come over to the country. And so I forego that. My concern was about their lives. My concern was just give in whatever best I could and just remove the privilege that I thought I should go for. But I felt that they have a higher privilege. And so I gave up that and just simply to give them whatever best they can have. But of course, at the end of the day, they all have their dreams and they achieve their own for the glory of God. That was not only my concern. My concern when I arrive is to make sure that they are in Christ. Because I know what it means to live in Australia. Looking and studying and researching, I want my children to grow in the Lord. And I constantly talk with my wife, pray with my wife for our children, their partners, their life partners. We think about their spiritual life. We know they have other needs, but we place the spiritual life above all their needs. That was our concern. And with that concern, we make all the necessary intentions that we have. And that's why we did what we did. Secondly, I want you to see this one. Nehemiah chapter 1 in verse 7-9. He says, "We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses." Notice he mentioned Moses. "Saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I've chosen as a dwelling for my name." You see, the power of intent reveals one thing. It reveals that the action is always aligned to the words of God and His truth. You can have all kinds of intention, but a godly intention is always aligned with the Word of God. Listen very carefully. We just now mentioned that every intention is affected by the condition of our heart. Therefore, it is very necessary that our hearts are filled with God's Word. Cain and Abel, the two famous brothers, they have good intentions to bring the offerings to God. Both desired for God's approval. Isn't it true? However, only Abel's offering was accepted by God. And Cain did not receive the approval. Why? Because he did not offer his first, but Abel gave his first to the Lord. There are people wondering why Cain's offering was not accepted and was rejected by God. The scripture tells us very clearly in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. He says, "And Abel also brought an offering and fed portions from some of the firstborn of his flock." Listen to this. "Firstborn of his flock, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering." It was the first that whatever we receive, the first portion is to be given to the Lord. Not to be kept by ourselves. If you and I want to learn what it means to honor God, we must always learn to give up our first portion to Him. So Nehemiah expressing his intentions here. Listen very carefully. He is now correcting the situation in Israel. According to what Israelites had done, they have gone against the word of God. They rebelled the word of God. They broke the law, and they at the same time dismissed the commands of God. So literally, Israelites failed God because they disobeyed the word. So now Nehemiah recognized that. In order to make all the correction, his intention is to get everything aligned to the word of God again. Are you there? So when the society is now in a ramshackle situation, it's all in a topsy-turvy situation, we need to bring back the society back to the word of God. We must get them in line to his word. Nehemiah recollected the reason why they were in exiles is because they disobeyed the Lord. But at the same time, Nehemiah recognized the promise that God spoke, that he will restore them back to the land. So in order to see the promise of God fulfilled, listen to this. In order for us to see God's promise fulfilled, we need to put all our intentions back to the word of God. Somebody tells me something, come on. Amen. You got to get back to the word of God. Now, this is something very important. Nehemiah, as much as we notice, he has aligned his intention to the word of God, the focus becomes clearer. The focus becomes clearer. The vision is now becoming possible. Listen to this. Every time when you and I align everything to God's word, God's direction becomes clearer. Can I say that one more time? When you align everything back to the word of God, God's direction for your life will become clearer. The vision will become visible. People are dumbfounded or confused or unsure or uncertain simply because there is no clarity as to what they should do next. I may not fully know what the detail is going to be, but I am very sure I know what I need to do because it is so clear. The action must be stated. And God said it very clearly to Nehemiah. When you and I have God's intention, you will see his vision clearly. At the same time, people were talking about intention and action. In between. In between has to be God's word. If you don't have God's word right here, intention will not lead you through into action. As long as you and I take our intention into his word, you will carry out the course of your action correctly. Sometimes we miss that course of direction. You see, friend, when you are out of God's intention or God's word, you will never be able to take the right course. But the moment you do that with the word of God, then you are able to see the right course of action that you need to do. Now, some of us, we have good intention. How many of you know that good intention is not good enough for godly intention? Let me prove to you. You remember Peter, the apostle. He made a very good confession. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Listen to this. Just a matter of 6 verses after that, you know what he did? When Jesus said that I'm going to Jerusalem, I will be killed and then rise up again. And Peter immediately responded and says what? "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Wow, good intention. He doesn't want Jesus to die. Good intention. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said that his counsel is satanic. He told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Sometimes we wonder, good intention may not necessarily be godly intention. I remember one time back in 1988, how many of you were not born yet in 1988. Okay? Well, Lolo, you're already born. Baby, you're already born that time. Oh, Warrior also born already. Okay. Jethro also born already. Okay. All right. One minister was pastoring a church for 10 over years. And I went over to the town and to start a church. I did all the infrastructure. I went around house to house giving pamphlets and all that. So one day I had the opportunity to meet this pastor. As a young graduate from Bible school, I asked this question. I said, "Pastor, could you give me some advice what to do in pioneering a church?" The pastor asked me one question: "Do you speak Mandarin?" Obviously not. I said, "I don't speak Mandarin." Immediately, he never say any further and says, "Then don't start a church." Good intention, by the way. Because if I don't speak Mandarin, it's hard to start a church. But most of you know, when I start a church in Johor Bahru, I don't speak Mandarin. I speak broken Mandarin, yes. And the church started to grow. If I would have listened to him, if I won't see Chris, I won't see Stephanie, and of course I won't be able to have my granddaughter too. If I did not start a church, when the pastor said, "Don't start a church since you do not know Mandarin." You see, sometimes good intention may not necessarily be the right intention. It may not be godly intention. I want you to see what godly intention is. In Gethsemane, you remember Jesus was agonizing inside him because he knew he had to go to the cross. He was already in pain inside his body. He felt painful. And when he saw the cup of suffering, he saw the cup of removing the sins of mankind, saw the cup of removing the sins of condemnation, he was crying out to God and saying, "Would you let this cup pass by? Please remove this cup." Jesus, in his own humanity, he cried out and said, "Please remove the cup." Then all of a sudden, he looked unto the Father and he just rested for a moment and he said, "But not my will. Let your will be done. I will go through it." You see, many of us, we don't realize what godly intention is. It's to do the things that our Father asks us to do, even though, listen carefully, even though it may be painful. Because a lot of time we have this notion as Christians, we always think that the road will be smooth, therefore I know God has given to me. How many of you know God speaks through pain? And God does that. I went through the pain and God does speak. And when he speaks, he has some better plan for you. And I want you to know this, brothers and sisters. God's intention are all described in his words. And as long as my intention align with his words, I will be following with his intention. Listen carefully. God's intention is all described in his words. Did you hear that? And when I place my intention in accordance to his words, hence my intention becomes God's intention. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. I pray that each one of us will come to term today, that you will not be so engrossed with your own intention. If it is not found on the basis of his word, then whatever you and I would do has no basis of his intention. Whatever God wants you to do, you will never do it because you have override his intention. In order for me to follow what he wants, then I need to fill my intention with his word. Then I will get hold of the right things and the right source. So Jesus gave up his human intention and when for God's intention. Amen. Let's look at the third one. The third one is found in Nehemiah chapter 2 in verse 4 and 5. Listen to this. In chapter 2, I notice that God is showing me that when you and I have God's intention or godly intention, you will have God's opportunity. So in his scripture, where there was a dialogue between Nehemiah and the king. Why? Because Nehemiah, after praying for four months, he was serving the king and his face was downcast. You know, sometimes you look at somebody's face, you can actually tell how happy or how sad. And this is exactly what Nehemiah had. His face was downcast, and the king was very pleased with his work. He always loves Nehemiah's job, who has done excellently. And so he asked Nehemiah, "What's wrong with you today?" And Nehemiah took the opportunity and said something in verse 4 to 5. Listen to the words. This is what the king said. "I see you have great concern about your people. What do you want from me?" And then this is what it says. Nehemiah replied. It says, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." Listen carefully. God's hand is never too short to do mighty things as long as your intention is God's intention. Am I right? There's nothing short of God's miracle. God began to bring forth an opening door for the king to respond to Nehemiah's condition. And while he was praying for God to open and grant him success in his prayer, the Lord allowed the king to communicate with him. And when the king began to communicate, he began to open up the door. Now, as a capable leader, Nehemiah, as he is, he clearly had a plan. And I want you to notice one thing. 4 months of praying, talking to God, listening to God, at the same time, he was preparing a spirit-led plan. He was planning. This is something I'm very concerned about. Most of us today, we have a lot of intention, and we all wait for God's opportunity, but we never had any plans. Listen, if I say that I have intention for the church to grow spiritually, then I must always prepare all the necessary steps, approaches, the word of God that need to be preached. You see, as a pastor of the church, I'm different from visitors of the church. You know what I'm talking about? Because as a pastor of church, I know the church weakness and strength. Visitors may not know. So whatever I preach according to what I know. Somebody say amen? Amen. Unless you do not want me to know. So what happened is, as I began to have this plan coming through, then I asked the Lord for opportunities. Are you there? Many of us today, we ask for opportunities, but we don't have plans. No wonder opportunities doesn't arrive. So you need to say, "Lord, I have intention to move forward. Therefore, I need to work out a plan." As I begin to pray and seek the Lord, I need to have God's plan in my life. And when I have God's plan, I wait for the opportunity. What's the point of praying for open doors when you don't even have a plan? Isn't it true? Don't wait until the opportunity comes. Oh, what am I going to do? Where? Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to buy this? By the time you finish looking for all that, the opportunity is gone. Can I say it one more time, church? Listen carefully. While you have any intention today, you seek the Lord for His plans and develop the plan. Plan A, Plan B, Plan C, not only one plan. You have option A, B, and C, and D, whatever. And when you have that plan, then the opportunity comes, you know what needs to be done. We all had plans. My wife and I, we sat down many a time, we plan. We plan about this, we plan about that. People said, you ought to be led by the Spirit. I tell you what, when I plan, I'm really led by the Spirit. Some people have these charismatic Pentecostal guys who always use this as a way of escape. Oh, I am led by the Spirit. In actual fact, the simple language is this: I did not prepare anything. I did not prepare anything. I am led by the Spirit. Nonsense. When you plan and you prepare yourself, you are led by the Spirit to do it. Somebody say amen. I'm always very afraid when people say, oh, you know, Kelvin, I just let the Holy Spirit lead me. I tell you what. I said, did you actually prepare your message? You did not. And therefore, you said you are led by the Spirit and you are going to be led by the Spirit. I tell you what, I do not know which Spirit you are talking about. Because the Spirit that I worship is the Spirit of Christ. And He has plans. Amen? He made those plans. So children, don't ever come around and tell me, I am led by the Spirit to go for my exam. Yeah. If you are led by the Spirit to go for an exam, I guarantee you, you fail. You got to prepare yourself. Am I right? We need to have that plan, brothers and sisters, before the opportunity comes. The person with intention will receive the opportunities. Godly intention will be followed by God's opportunities. Opportunities are given to all of us to finish up all our responsibilities. By the way, when God gives us opportunities, it's not meant for us to stop halfway. Opportunities that God has given to all of us, it's meant for us to finish up. Which means to say, let me go beyond that. God has given you the opportunity to experience Christ. God has given you the opportunity to know Him and to love Him. Then finish it up until Jesus comes. Don't stop halfway and say, I got better things to do. There is no better thing than the things of God. If there is no intention, no matter what you say, it will never be fulfilled. And when God given you an opportunity, finish it up. Finish it up. Praise the Lord. At the same time, every opportunity also comes with divine help, isn't it? God doesn't give you opportunity and stay far away. When He sees something there, He gives you that help. You see what happened when Nehemiah was given the opportunity by the king, and the favor of God rests upon him, and now he receives it, and he went to Jerusalem, and he scouted the place. He got everybody to come alongside. And he says, let us build the wall. Everybody was ready. But bear in mind, he was never short of any opposition. The challenges were there. How many of you know when opportunity is given to you, it doesn't mean that everything will be good? There will be challenges. And some of us, we are not even prepared for the challenges. But Nehemiah was, because in his plan, while he was praying to God, he has the plan. He was ready for the challenge. And when he went, he was ready. When the challenges came, he told the people and he says, let us work. And when the people were weakened, he prayed, God, strengthen our hands, strengthen our legs, strengthen our knees, strengthen. And he strategized precisely for that whole situation. He planned it. You see, brothers and sisters, ultimately, the divine help came because it was proven at the later part of Nehemiah chapter 6. And right there in verse 15 to 16, listen to this. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. In 52 days, the wall was rebuilt. You see, church, when you and I receive the opportunity, bear in mind, it always comes with God's help. So whenever you are given the opportunity, remember this. Make sure there is your plan. The plan of God must be there. Without that plan, no matter what, you can never do anything. The help of God may not even come. But it's when you have that plan and you're ready to go, then the help of God comes with you. And when it comes, He will help you through. Miracles began to happen because it was God's intention. If you were to bring your intention in line and align with God's word, you will see that your intention ultimately is God's intention. And then you will see the fulfillment with God's opportunity. And God's opportunity is for you to finish up whatever God is giving you. And when He has given you the opportunity, it comes with His help. Let me close today with this. I want to summarize these three aspects. Godly intentions begin with a heart of concern. Amen? And then secondly, godly intentions must be aligned with God's word. Only then will it become God's intention. And thirdly but not least, godly intention will continue with actions when opportunity is given. Then you will be able to carry out your action appropriately. With intention, we often pray, Lord, use me. When the opportunity comes, then your prayer will be this, Lord, help me to finish the work with your miracles. Amen. I believe the church is God's opportunity for us, where the plans of God were stipulated and stated very clearly, so that the people of God who comes to this house will grow, will mature, and will become a disciple of God. That was God's primary purpose. We need to bring in more people to Jesus Christ. There were few illustrations that I've read in regards to historical facts. Marco Polo's father went over to China, where the Mongolian was ruling at that time. Kublai Khan was the emperor. And Marco Polo's father was told, as he shared about the goodness of Christ, he was told to bring in more priests to China to share the gospel. And so Marco Polo's father went back but never returned until later, where the opportunity door was closed. If he had, China would already be a Christian nation. Walt Disney told his friend, there is this crop land that if you were to purchase, you will grow wealthily. But the man pondered and said, no, I don't think I would like to buy. The opportunity was given. And the story tells us that the land was a wealthy land. But there's another story that Dr. Jimmy Allen, the former pastor of First Baptist Church of San Antonio, shared this story, and he said this. There was a dark-skinned little boy sat through Sunday school classes for 3 years in our church. But someone missed the opportunity to reach him. His name was Sirhan Sirhan. And at age 24, he shot and killed Senator Robert Kennedy. Dr. Jimmy Allen says, we missed him. Our chance to change things came and passed, and we did not know it was there. We are given opportunities, but we did not carry them out. Why? Because we did not have any intention to do the changing. People said, oh, why are you so confronting? Why do you tell people this and that? And, you know, I heard all that. I'm tired of it. Look at the stories and the facts today. There's so many opportunities we missed, and people's lives went to hell. I have one senior friend in Bible school, an Indian brother. As a matter of fact, after he graduated Bible school, he went to law and became a lawyer. Anyway, he was 1 year my senior. And in Bible school, we have a school holiday, and we all meant to go back to our town and serve the Lord in our local church. So this friend of mine happens to be from Penang, in the island Penang. He went back, and he thought to himself, I'm going to reach this friend of mine. And this friend of mine on that day was playing soccer in the public field. So he took his motorbike, he went over to the field, and he waited for him to finish the soccer game. This friend of his was still playing, and my friend thought, man, it's a bit too long, I can't wait, I need to go back. So he says, I will probably see him tomorrow morning. So he took his bike, he went back home to have his dinner, because these guys were playing soccer and decided to stretch their time and play it a bit longer. Soon after, while he was having his dinner, suddenly a phone rang. And then he received the news that the friend that he was trying to reach out had an accident after the soccer game while he was going back. And he died on the spot. He came back to Bible school, this friend of mine, and told me the story. And he says, I felt so lousy. I said, why? Because the opportunity was given to me, all I could do was wait a little bit longer. But this man died without Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, when God's intention is there, there will be a plan, and that plan is for you to learn to wait upon Him until the opportunity comes. Then you will see success in your prayer. Somebody said, amen. Amen. Why don't you stand together with me right now? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.